Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the 12th episode of the Road to Ironman podcast series with Christine, Gerard and Renzo. Today we are going to be chatting to James Lang. James is a triathlete, but he's more than that too. He's a fighter. He survived a head-on collision in 2014, which left him in a coma, and was later told he had never run again. Now he trains 17 hours a week and does Comrades and Ironman. It's been a long struggle for James, demanding endless patience and perseverance, physically and mentally. Having survived the accident where he lost a good friend, this also meant wading through grief and trying to figure out the meaning of it all. Years later, James wrote in a post, "I realized that I'm possibly here to inspire other brain injury survivors. I'm thankful because it could have been far worse. I will never grasp the fact why I'm so blessed and fortunate and just have had the chance, had to make my second chance in life count." James completed the 2019 full Ironman in 12:23 and has some very audacious and ambitious goals for 2020, including the Comrades Marathon. Welcome, James, and we're looking forward to spending the next 40 minutes with you and hearing your inspirational story that we can share with others to celebrate a life well lived. Welcome, James, to our podcast studio. We're very excited to have you here and to be sharing the next 40 minutes or so with you. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to meet you guys as well.
And likewise.
James, so before we get into the story about your accident and how your triathlon career and your goals for 2019 and 2020, tell us a bit about yourself. So who are you? Who is James? Where did you grow up? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Cool. So I was born in Cape Town, and then at 3 years old lived in Namibia, or then Swakopmund, Southwest Africa it was then called. Then moved to Joburg when I was about 5 or 6. I've basically been in Joburg my whole life, apart from living overseas for 2.5 years. And then I would say my hometown is definitely Benoni. I did my full high school at Benoni High. And was in Benoni until about the age of 18. Then I went and sort of studied, did my national diploma in electrical engineering. At school, I played cricket and soccer. Wasn't the greatest. And then after school, played a bit of soccer. I do come from a sporting family, especially from my mother's side. Mm-hmm. I've got a brother who played semi-professional football in Italy. And then after studies, I just worked and went overseas, as I said, traveled a little bit, came back to South Africa in about the year 2000, then worked in the call center industry, didn't do much sports or really any sport between the year 2000-2009. Was more of a spectator. My favourite sport then was probably cricket. I've sort of lost the interest in cricket. I don't really enjoy 2020. I'm more of a 5-day test cricket sort of fan. And then I'm extremely passionate about football, English Premiership, and I support Tottenham.
I was just about to ask who you support. That's quite important.
I support Tottenham. I actually started supporting them from, it was either the age of 6 or 7. I can't quite remember because we won the FA Cup in 1981 and 1982. And that was the biggest thing or sports event as shown on South African TV during apartheid and that. And I just love the way they play. I'm fanatical about it. I get teased about it, but I give it back as well. Anyway. And then, yeah, I became a bit of a couch potato. And then in 2009, I went and bought a mountain bike. Some friends said, let's go for a 30 kilometer cycle. And I thought, wow, that's flipping far. I weighed my heaviest then, which was about 91 kilograms. I'm now 76, 77. And yeah, loved it, absolutely loved cycling. So I started as a cyclist, joined the cycling club, did that for about 2 years. And then so 2011, then I had a friend who asked me if I'd like to help him do the Two Oceans Ultra straight in, just because I'm disciplined and he wasn't disciplined and he needed someone to keep him disciplined. And so yeah, we ran together. And then
did you finish together, James?
No, he was actually stronger than me.
Okay.
But he needed my discipline, so I finished in 6:57, so just over 2 minutes to spare. Yeah, it definitely was one of my most stressful races, because I knew time was against me. I must have used that as my qualifier for Comrades 2012. Well, my friend then gave up, stopped running. That was his goal. That was his one goal. I then decided, well, then let's do Comrades. I enjoyed Comrades growing up. I did say I'll never run it. growing up watching Fordyce and that. And then 2012, yeah, I just decided to give it a shot. It was a down run in 2012. I didn't finish. I ran with my brother, who hadn't been running for a while, but he was a good runner, especially over the shorter distance. So we both attempted 2012. We ran together, but we ran out of time at 70Ks, and we phoned our brother who lives in Durban, come and pick us up, we're not going to finish. And I decided there and then that, no, stuff this, I need to go back in 2013, I'm going to get a coach and take it from there. So yeah, that was my exercise up until 2013 and before the accident. So between Comrades and the accident, it was just a bit of fitness here and there. There were no sort of real goals, the goals were to finish my studies and stuff like that. Yeah, which I was studying a BSc degree in 2013. Yeah.
And tell me, James, besides now trying to help a friend out by being more accountable for Two Oceans, you said you obviously took that as your qualifier for Comrades. What was your reason to do Comrades? Just for a bucket list item tick, or was it something that like scratched the back of your throat that you needed to do this? You needed to feel how you're going to feel when you cross that finish line.
Yeah. So for me, it was I still couldn't believe and thought, you know, why are you doing this? You said you're never going to do this. Even when my brother completed his Comrades in 2008, I said, no, this isn't going to happen. And then I was really enjoying the cycling, and I thought, oh, you've given up cycling, but I loved the running. So I was fortunate that I just loved both disciplines. And yeah, for me, it was Comrades was more about sort of losing weight, getting fitter. When I ran Comrades in 2012, I weighed 85. So I wasn't, and what I knew about running compared to what I know about it now, I was clueless. Even though I ran for a club, one thing I've learned, you can't listen to someone who's done 30 Comrades and think they know everything. They just do it because that's what they enjoy. Yeah. So yeah, for me it was more about losing weight and see whether I could do this thing, you know, because we grew up with comrades and that. Yeah.
And so tell us about 2013 and your accident and how you recovered from that and how that's kick-started your triathlon career, because when I chatted to you last week, that was a really instead of actually giving up or taking a step back, you actually pushed yourself from a place of discomfort into another, like even a more challenging place than the comrades and the mountain biking that you were doing before. So that was for me very inspiring about how you decided to do that.
Yeah, so funnily enough, so I've been so focused. When I do something, it's 200% or nothing. It's both a strength, I guess, and a weakness of mine. And after comrades, I just thought, okay, I need to focus on my job. I wasn't happy in the job, and then after finishing comrades, it made me realize, look, you're extremely unhappy. I then went, so I went through my third major episode of depression. So I'm clinically diagnosed with that. After three, that's it, that's what you have. I was hospitalized in sort of 2013, September, October. After that, just leading up to the accident, 2013 November, I went for a job interview at another bank, APSA specifically, and then obviously I was sort of still depressed but wanting to just get out of where I was. I didn't feel I had the confidence and the ability to do the job that I was doing. It was a different career to what I did afterwards anyway. And I was just doing some basic exercise just to keep it ticking, nothing really. And then I carried on, or I focused then on my Bachelor of Science degree, where I was majoring in psychology and information systems, which is a strange combination, and then maths as a second major. And then our cycling club, which I had a strong affiliation for, a friend, Albie, which we'll get to now, since died in the accident. And we were just planning to, we were looking forward to the first sort of race of the season, which was the fast one cycle race in Vereeniging area. And it was an exciting time because our cycling club was getting some pros coming into the club, and we were setting up our first racing teams and stuff like that. And then Albie's son, because Albie was a phenomenal cyclist, he was in the top 10 in the country in his age group, which then was, he was 56 when he died, so he was in the VC group in the top 10. His son was also a very gifted cyclist and that, and we were going to go watch, it was his first junior race, where he was representing his new club and stuff like that. And then, so the actual accident, happened on the 26th of January 2014. I don't recall collecting Albie from his house. We traveled in my car. And the accident happened at about 5:15 in the morning. About a kilometer from the Mayerton off-ramp to the cycle event. So we would have been in a convoy because it would have been obviously other cyclists and stuff like that going to participate. It's also near the blockhouse engine garage, it's called. So there was a drunk driver that crossed the highway from the other side on the about a 150 meter island between the two sides of the R59 highway. He was apparently on a joyride, a couple of people try to slow him down and stuff like that. Apparently, he was just laughing and whatever. Anyway, he hit me after I attempted to swerve, so hit me on the right-hand side. I was driving, and that, and then, yeah, unfortunately, then LB was ejected from the vehicle, and he died on the scene, from what I understand and what we've been told and stuff like that. As I said, I can't remember the accident. I was stabilized as best as possible, and this is only through me reading all the medical reports and stuff like that, which I think I was stabilized for about 40 minutes. Then I was taken by ambulance to the Union Hospital, which was about 40 kilometers from the accident scene. Again, from reading the medical reports, I slipped into a coma as I'd had swelling on the brain, and I had a contused right lung, so I wasn't able to breathe by myself. And then I was sort of rushed to ICU. So that was pretty much the accident. And then to sort of go over all the injured body parts, if you're all injured. So I had 4 fractures to the right eye socket. And the thing about that, and I'll get to it later, I feel extremely blessed, and it's a counter thing, counterintuitive, but I'm extremely fortunate and blessed with just all the injuries that I did sustain. I've got a lazy left eye, so I can't see out my left eye, so I'm really fortunate that my right eye was saved. And I've got an eye condition in the right eye, which was before the accident. I have what's called keratoconus. It's sort of it's worse than astigmatism. It's the eyes sort of got worse than astigmatism. Anyway, and then I had a fractured left elbow, and I am left dominant. That's also been a blessing, and, you know, I'm always using the elbow and stuff like that, so it's quite active. Then in terms of the left elbow, I sustained MRSA, in ICU. It's a super bug that can only be cured once with antibiotics and stuff like that, once you have any metal removed from the injury. I fractured 3 toes in my left foot, so that I had a man boot on that. Just trying to think. I did have an injury to my back, but it's a normal occurrence that it just cures itself. So it's a traverse. I'm not too sure. Some traverse injury or something of the L2 or something like that. But because I was lying down, it sort of cured itself. And then, what else? So I had a lot of, so then my knees would have hit, the sort of would have had impact as well. So it was just a lot of scarring and abrasions, and there were stitches and stuff like that. We have learned sort of afterwards, because we weren't really given too many facts around the injuries around the sort of elbow and knees or anything, but post accident I did trip over a speed bump while running, so we then figured out that I actually sustained grade 3 tears to both ulterior knee ligaments, and where I've also been, so those were the sort of the injuries and like that. So I was in a coma for five, 6 days, and that was just to get the swelling of the brain to come down. I did sustain a traumatic brain injury, a frontal lobe injury, which has impacted more on my behavioral things. So cognitively, there's been no injuries. I've done sort of assessments and stuff like that. And then also the breathing. I wasn't able to breathe by myself, so I was also on a ventilator and that for 5, 6 days. So yeah, that was the accident. And then in terms of what's helped the recovery in that, when I woke up or was coming around from the coma, one of the first things I remember, and I didn't understand it at that time, but my family said, "You're such a fighter." Now, that could have been, I was quite aggressive when I was in the coma because of the brain injury. I had to be tied down and stuff like that. So I thought, okay, well, you were already fighting in the coma. So, and I just cognitively, or subconsciously rather, it's just, I've got those words ingrained in my subconscious, is that I'm a fighter. And that's what's helped my recovery. Already I was fighting with nurses and physios from about the 7th or 8th day. I just couldn't understand why they couldn't assign a nurse to me who would walk with me, because of muscle atrophy and lying in bed, you lose sort of, I wasn't able to walk in that. So already I was fighting to make sure that I could walk, and already then I didn't feel that I wouldn't be able to walk again. I just wanted to walk. So yeah.
And obviously while all of that happened, and you were busy recovering, I'm assuming it took a couple of days for you to get to a stage where you almost like got to a point, you know what, life tried to kick me down and I'm still alive, so I want to be thankful for that, but now I want to make sure that I don't waste another second in life. When did that mind shift happen, and how did the whole triathlon portion of that decision come into your head?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to answer. I just remember saying, like, I'm a fighter. And the first thing was, like, I wanted to walk. And I was irritated that I wasn't, like, getting the support and part of that fighting. So I was in hospital for the first time. It was either between 10 and 12 days. And I only know this by having to go through reports, and I don't remember the detail. But I booked myself out of hospital basically as well. The trauma doctor agreed to it because that's what I wanted. My family weren't impressed, obviously. In hindsight, I should have stayed in hospital longer, because I landed up in hospital the first day after getting back home anyway. I broke the elbow again. Anyway, so yeah, that was, yeah, I slipped and whatever, and I was still, because I wasn't able to walk, I was trying to walk, and I wasn't going to let anyone say I couldn't and whatever. And then already in 2014, I thought, no, let me carry on with my studies and stuff like that. My psychiatrist at the time just said, you know, I'm booking you off. You can't study in 2014. I did attempt, but my brain wasn't there. I wasn't able to cope. Anyway, and then, so from 2015 to 2017, the focus was complete my degree. So I had 18 subjects. So post-accident, I completed the degree as well. The biggest challenge there was, even in, obviously, the theory subjects, I had to remember facts and stuff like that. That was a bit challenging. Luckily, all the subjects I enjoyed. And then even with the maths, which is my strength, I had to remember formulas, and that I did. I battled with memory and stuff like that. Anyway, so I completed my degree in 2017, November. Then December 2017, we had our cycling year end event, and I spoke to one of my friends and said, "Oh, I see you being coached. Who's your triathlon coach?" And the reason for it is I just wanted to do, funnily enough, I am doing it. My goal then was, because I was looking at where I was in my recovery, and my goal was just, I want to do the Comrades in 2020. I also knew it was a down, and I need to go and finish the down, because I I've got only an up medal. And the next day, sent an email to my current, well, to Trifactory. That's the triathlon team that I'm with. Mm-hmm. Got an email back, set up a meeting with my coach, who's still my coach now. And I told her, I said, I just want you to get me to Comrades 2020. And at that stage, sorry, I'm going a bit back. I'm all over the place. But also, while I was doing my degree and that, and part of my rehab, so I'd gone through my rehab, had some physio, mainly it was physio, and some occupational therapy and stuff like that to get back into the workplace and that. And I was advised to go and see a bio, what are they called? Instead of seeing a bio, I thought, no, I want to find someone who's a runner and who's a personal trainer. Because with three broken toes, I was struggling with the walking, and my walking gait just was totally different. It had changed dramatically. It could have been the brain, but it could have also just been physical injuries and a little bit of muscle atrophy. But it was probably more the brain. And I just thought, no, let me see a personal trainer and someone who runs as well. And I'm saying that because initially I'd seen a professor to get rid of the infection from my elbow. And he recommended, he didn't say you'll never run again, but I'm reflecting back on it. He said, look, I don't advise that you run. And at that time I just accepted it. Didn't depress me or whatever. I just accepted it. You know, an expert doctor told me. Yeah. So then fortunately, I went back to my podiatrist, because this doctor, I had to get special shoes or shoes made up, so my feet, they're called rockers or something, so I didn't have pressure on my feet and all that kind of stuff. And he said, go and see this foot specialist in Joburg, let's just get another opinion. Waited about 4 to 6 months for an appointment. He said, don't listen to any doctor, you can go run. As long as there's no pain, if there is pain, you come back to me, but you can run. And as soon as I got that, that's when I sought the, I went to a sports doctor, then decided, no, let me go see a personal trainer. And as soon as I got that go ahead, it also became a mental thing that suddenly all pain when I was walking to my feet all went away, just overnight, just like that. So it was a mental shift. But just because I was given the go-ahead, excited.
Yeah, sometimes you just need somebody to believe in you.
Yeah, that's it. And then it was probably the most frustrating sort of part of this whole between 2014 and now, because just to give you an idea, before the accident, my PB on a 21 is a one, just under 145, 144, sort of some change. And I was battling to run when I did my first one under 230. And I know it comes across as being a bit arrogant, but I was frustrated with myself and thought, that's pathetic, you know. So I'm quite hard on myself as well, or I was, and I thought, no. My goal then was to run a sub 2 on a 21. My running gait was like, and then funnily enough, the personal trainer referred to a bio, and even she was like, I don't know how you got running again. but especially where I was, and I can remember so clearly my running gait was just totally different. But what changed it as well was actually my muscle memory started coming back from the brain, and the legs and stuff like that. Mm. So yeah, we got there. Now my running, I would say, is back to where it was.
And when did the triathlon discussion come up? Was it something that came out of nowhere, or was it a friend?
Okay, so the first meeting with a coach, I go in expecting Comrades 2020, I'm a runner.
Yeah.
And part of the other thing that I put into my conscience or subconscious that came afterwards. Anyway, in the meeting with the coach, she says, well, you might as well do triathlon. Gave a bit of my history. She's very influential. And the next day I thought, you know, you've always wanted to do an Ironman. Mm. You've always wanted to see if you can improve on your swimming, because I wasn't a great swimmer at school. And yeah, I decided the next day, okay, cool, I'm doing triathlon. I did, I think, one sprint triathlon. It's a bit hazy. Did a 51 or Olympic distance, I think one or two.
Yeah.
And then my first half was at Sun City Ultra, which would have been May of 2018. So sort of 5 months after starting the training and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. So that's how it started. Yeah.
And then you did a 12:23 at full Ironman this year. That's amazing.
The training was probably leading up to Ironman was the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what's awaiting us, and I'll say us because hopefully you've got the same amount of training. The training's going to be hectic. So it starts to ramp up pretty much soon. So on the day leading up in PE, you know you're going to get wind. It's just how hectic the wind's going to be. So it started off, and it's the first time ever the swim was shortened in PE. The waves were, according to locals and obviously the organizers, weren't safe, purely because of close to the turnaround point, they were concerned about currents and stuff like that. So it was shortened. I must say I was happy, although I do love ocean swimming. I was happy and I thought, oh, great, you're going to do a quicker time now. Swim went well. I enjoyed it. No issues. Can't exactly remember my swim time. And then the cycle was okay. About 80 Ks in my bottle cage came undone and rattled. Nice. And that just put me off. I had the tools on me, but I started trying to figure it out using my hands, and the brain just wasn't cooperating. Anyway, luckily about 10-15 minutes later, mechanics came, so I lost about 20 minutes. Yeah, I kept on going, and then I'm a bit of a numbers person with the maths and that, so started looking and then playing around with my watch. On the cycle at about 128 Ks, I put myself into transition 2. So I was riding blind, which was maybe a good thing, but I was my mindset, I just wasn't there. I was like sulking like a little kid, and just irritated with myself, and I wasn't able to change my mindset on the cycle, which it is what it is. It's something that I needed to work on and whatever. But anyway, so I did about a 7:10 on the cycle. And I can easily take half an hour off that time without even trying, because my cycling has improved. Anyway, I got into transition two, and I just took it easy. Well, just was calm and went to the bathroom, got my nutrition for the run ready, and I just had, I spoke to myself and I said, okay, James, now you're going into your strong point. Now you're going to make this work. And I decided as well, I'm going to start the run off quick, which isn't advisable, but I was running sub 5:30s for the first 6Ks just to get into it. Then I did calm down a bit and just get my heart rate sort of balanced and stuff like that. And yeah, the wind started picking up and it felt like you running uphill, and the running course isn't difficult. It's probably it's the easiest run course I've done since doing triathlon. I finished on I did a 4:20 marathon, so extremely happy with that. Even though we were aiming for a 3:50, but I was facing 40-kilometre winds, and felt like a cripple. My back was stuffed. So I did a 12:23, and I was a bit despondent with myself, actually. I'm quite hard on myself, and I'm like, I could have done better and whatever. But that sort of soon dissipates once, you know, people sort of just get over it, and it's a brilliant time and whatever. So, yeah.
That is definitely an awesome time. James, tell me, do you think it works in your favor to do Comrades and Ironman, because you're almost like training in any case hard, so having a goal like Comrades behind or after Ironman just keeps you accountable, or what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I can't really give you an honest answer. What I would say, so it was always a goal of mine, and my coach knew it. I didn't plan to do Comrades 2020. My coach said, James, you can do Comrades 2020 because it's 10 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I do have a good friend who's got a 6:15 Comrades. So there's a route in Joburg another top South African Comrades run have come up. It ends on a 3-kilometer hill. And the one thing I have learned, or that's just an opinion, is with triathlon, with the long runs could be harder. When I did Sun City, my first half, I was told, oh, the run course is so hard, you know? And I was like, well, that wasn't exactly challenging stuff, especially when you've done Comrades.
Mm.
So, look, the focus is on Ironman first.
Mm.
I've got a goal there, although I've got a Comrades goal as well. From January, I'm going to make sure I'm going to go back to the Comrades route, as I call it, and stuff like that. It's a harder route, and you'll do two laps of it. So, I think I'll know what to do and stuff like that. But for me, the main thing for Comrades is to go sub 11 first of all. But I am aiming for a Bull Rowan. That would be the ideal.
Yeah, it's a good time for the stars.
And then I've got a goal for Ironman as well. So aiming for an 11:40.
Sure.
And I know what I want to do for each of the disciplines and stuff like that. So, and we're training accordingly for that. So, because my run is my strength, so we're aiming for 3:50 on the run and a 6:10 on the bike. So most of my work, or the focus for now, is on the bike. I've improved dramatically. And what's helped that mostly is actually just the indoor trainer. I've got a new indoor trainer, stick to the program that I have to follow, and then just, you know,
get the work
improve on.
And James, we've got about 2 minutes left or so. So what I'd love to do is if you could share a motivational message with anyone listening now about what keeps driving you forward and keeps you inspired to keep doing what you're doing despite some of the difficult physical circumstances that you face, what would that message be?
Okay, cool. Just a quick side. So I believe I've got an advantage because of the accident that other people don't. It gives me a, like, hey, this is where you were, and you're doing this and stuff like that. So that does give me an unfair advantage. What I would say is people must just be accountable to themselves and stop making excuses. And just first, just get that first step going, and yeah, believe in yourself. I've seen athletes who are a lot stronger than myself, and oh no, I'm not ready to do a 70.3. Oh no, I'm not ready for Ironman. Mm. Well, I did a 70.3 after about 5 months, and then I did a full Ironman just a year and a bit. Well, less than a year after that. So yeah, we all can do more than we think we can, so don't limit yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's important. It's the only restrictions you put out there is on yourself. Don't believe other people's negative comments. You can decide what you are capable of.
Yeah, so I think people aren't all realistic with themselves. Like, mm-hmm. You see some athletes, their swim's brilliant, cycles brilliant. Maybe they don't think they're a great runner, but you look at them, and if they had to compare themselves to other age groupers, they'd be in like the top 20, and you're thinking, like, what? You know, go for it. You're ready. Just go for it. Yeah. You know.
James, thanks a lot. This was awesome. It's always great hearing these type of stories, and yeah, we're looking forward to sharing it with our audience. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that is going to listen to this, and maybe they haven't been through as tough stuff as you, but maybe a little bit of uncomfortableness that happened in their life, they can use this as inspiration for their own journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Thanks, man.
Thanks, James. Bye.